Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, go away you fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
It's football time.
And Blake, Iowa Gopher.
Game week, baby.
Well, yeah, it is game week. We are now, okay, so with the time zone change, 47 hours and, I don't know, 42 minutes away, something like that?
Not quite. 46 hours and 42 minutes.
You know, I was close. The maths, they are difficult. All right, so it's Ohio State, which, yeah, I mean, we'll get to predictions at the end. I don't think we're all expecting a big W here. We'll take it if it happens. But I'm going to turn it over to you, Blake. If you had to list in order the top three things that worry you about Ohio State, what would they be?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it's such a lesser-known program. It's really hard to kind of pinpoint just 3 points. Yeah, Ohio State's a big deal. And you know, they don't lose a whole lot. I don't know if you notice. When they do lose, it's usually against like a team like Alabama or Clemson. And, you know, Minnesota's obviously not Alabama or Clemson.
Whoa. Let's remember, Minnesota owns the all-time series record against Alabama 1-0.
Oh, I mean, I stand corrected. That's true. I can't believe I forgot that. They're batting 1,000 against the Crimson Tide, which, you know, I'd say not many programs can say. Ohio State certainly can't say it. So let's give some credit to Minnesota there. Three things that concern me about Ohio State. One is, you know, much has been made about them losing a lot of starters on both sides of the ball. I think they'll lose about 6 in offense, 6 defense. Obviously, the big one on offense is Justin Fields, who's now playing for the Chicago Bears, and he'll be replaced by C.J. Stroud, who's a redshirt freshman quarterback who has yet to make a pass attempt in a collegiate game. But, you know, the thing with him is like all Ohio State recruits, he's a former 4-star recruit. You know, he's your prototypical Ohio State quarterback, strong arm, can throw a nice deep ball. He's got athleticism that can extend plays outside the pocket. And I mean, that's kind of the story all over the field for them. No matter whether they're replacing guys or not, there's always going to be more talent where that last one came from. So it's a team that's hard to get excited about the game, thinking that they're vulnerable because of their departures, when knowing that they've just got talent coming up the wazoo. I mean, they have, you know, top 10 recruiting classes. So it's just a team that's really hard to beat, as evidenced by their record. And Ryan Day hasn't even lost a Big Ten game yet, and he's in his third year as head coach at Ohio State. So to me, that's point one. Is just, this is probably one of the most talented teams Minnesota has faced in the PJ Fleck era. You know, a lot of people look back at 2019 when they faced Auburn. That was a talented team, but, you know, again, that was 2 years ago. This is a different Minnesota team. Just the matchup in general, I think, is tough, especially for a season opener. I think that people tend to think there's an advantage there to getting Ohio State at the beginning of the season, but, you know, that also kind of works against Minnesota too. So second point is, I would say their talent and offense, especially wide receiver. If you're going to have a redshirt freshman quarterback, you're going to want All-American wide receivers, and they have two of those. They've got Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, two guys that are the best friends of any first-year starting quarterback. But they also have kind of an embarrassing riches at running back. You know, last year they had Trey Sermon, who's in the NFL now. Their leading rusher, Master Teague, may not even be their starter. They've got three guys, including him, that could all see carries on Thursday night. A redshirt freshman named, I think, Mayan Williams is how you pronounce it, and then a true freshman named Travion Henderson. So, a lot of talent at running back, and obviously, because Ohio State, they're going to be operating behind a pretty impressive offensive line featuring not one but two All-Americans at offensive tackle. And, I mean, one isn't even going to play tackle. They moved him into guard so that another really good offensive tackle could take the right tackle spot. So, I mean, when you're moving All-Americans around to make room for younger guys, I mean, they just have talent come out of their ears. So it's going to be a challenge for Minnesota, especially on defense. You know, I think we've well documented the struggles that Minnesota had on defense last year, especially at linebacker. And if you're a team with a young quarterback, you're obviously going to want to run the ball a lot. And teams ran the ball quite easily against Minnesota last year. But I think the big matchup there to be watched will be obviously Ohio State's defensive or offensive line and their running backs against Minnesota's linebackers, which you return everyone from last year, plus Braylon Oliver from injury and Jack Gibbons, the middle linebacker from Abilene Christian. So to me, yeah, that would be my second point is just Ohio State has very talented offense regardless of who's gone from last year. And I think we all hope for improvement from Minnesota's defense this year, but at this point, I just don't know how much improvement they have made. And I mean, thankfully, we won't have to wait very long to find out. And then defensively, I don't say, I guess I don't know how concerned I am about the Ohio State defense. I mean, that kind of probably sounds a little arrogant. It's a talented defense, but they are missing every starting linebacker from last season. They don't have any linebackers coming back that have starting experience. So there is a vulnerability, but they also have a really impressive defensive line. You know, they got a preseason All-American at defensive tackle in Haskell Garrett, and then two really good defensive ends in Zach Harrison and Tyreek Smith that are going to probably cause some problems for Minnesota's offensive line up front. Their secondary has had some issues, I would say, last year against the pass, but they return guys with a lot of experience. They just don't have a ton of depth at that position. They've got their two starting corners are Seven Banks and Cam Brown, two guys that were injured during preseason camp and have kind of been working their way back. But they got a couple of really good safeties. One's a senior from last year, and another's a sophomore, kind of made his name at safety last year as a freshman. So I mean, there's some vulnerabilities there on defense. I think a big question mark for me, and this would probably be my third point, is who's going to step up at wide receiver for Minnesota, especially if Chris Amabell isn't available. You know, we've heard reports that Clay Gary may not be available. He's kind of an elder statesman at the wide receiver corps at this point. There just aren't a ton of guys with experience and not a lot of upperclassmen at the position in general. So I'm really concerned at who's going to be the playmaker at wide receiver for them, because I think Tanner Morgan, God bless him, I think he's going to need some help because this team lacks, you know, there's no Rashad Bateman, there's no Tyler Johnson. You know, I don't know. He's not going to put up a 2019 season if he doesn't have a couple of big play wide receivers. And, you know, maybe the Texas A&M transfer, Dylan Wright, is the guy, or maybe Daniel Jackson can build off last season's freshman year. So I would say, yeah, my third point of concern is who's going to step up wide receiver, because we know what Minnesota has in the running game. Muhammad Abraham, probably the deepest, most experienced offensive line we've had in years at Minnesota. But I mean, if they don't have a running game, I mean, if they don't have a passing game, Ohio State's just going to stack the box the whole game, and I don't think that's going to go very well for Minnesota. So yeah, those would be my 3 points. It's just talent, especially on Minnesota and Ohio State's offense, and then three, who's going to step up wide receiver for Minnesota?
So one thing I just really didn't hear you address at all was the fact that Ryan Day, head coach of Ohio State, had just a magnificent beard and chose to shave it before the season. And if Lovie Smith has taught us anything, it's that shaving your beard is the quickest way to get fired. Can you weigh in on how optimistic we should be now that Ryan Day has decided to go with a shorn face?
Well, I think if I read that correctly, he say it's his wife's superstition that he can't coach with a beard, so he stands in diametric opposition to the Lovie Smith philosophy.
Yeah, but that's my point, is his wife is wrong.
That's fair. I will certainly find out. I think this is going to be a great experiment or a great validation. Like one side's going to be right, proven right. One side's going to be proven wrong. You know, Lovie, I think the facts bear themselves out with Lovie. He shaved the beard. Things didn't go well for him. I think this is a good test case for us. I mean, I'm with you. I think Lovie's beard was probably the best thing about his coaching tenure in Illinois. So,
100%. There's nothing else you can point to.
I mean, to be honest, things didn't go well when he had the beard either.
yeah, but he looked good. Like, if you're going to lose that many games, at least look good. And he did. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it counts for something. I mean, in Illinois' case, I mean, they've got Brett Bielema now, so I mean, looking good's out the window.
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh Whitman would not have fired Lovie Smith if he was, because he would have been baffled. The bafflement that would have come from him when he looked at that magnificent beard would have at least kept Lovie Smith around for one more year. But then he shaved it and he lost his protection against getting fired, is all I'm saying. So Ryan Day, what I'm saying is going to get fired now. That's what's going to happen. All right, well, you know, I think, Blake, you alluded to it a little bit at the beginning. This has been a very odd offseason, and honestly, an odd season to get hyped up for. I had trouble getting hyped up for last year, but last year was really about... we're in the middle of a pandemic. We still are, but in a way that obviously was completely different and difficult to experience and enjoy. You know, we weren't going to be going to football games. We weren't vaccinated. A lot of things stood in the way of it being an enjoyable season. Now I feel like it's just kind of like the hype is down. And I think in large part, that's again due to the pandemic. But I mean, Andy, how are you feeling coming into the season in terms of how excited you are versus how you think you'd normally be getting ready for football?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think I'm still pretty excited. I'm definitely looking forward to being in the stadium on Thursday night, and I think it'll only increase once we get in there and you know, get into the stadium and just start getting those vibes, which should be a, you know, sold out crowd, if not, you know, 1,000 short or something like that. You know, it should be loud. It should be exciting. It should be a good time. And so I think, you know, I'll be pretty excited there. But I mean, rightly or wrongly, you're always going to sort of have that little, you know, COVID thing in the back of your head. You know, you're hoping that a bomb doesn't drop on your team, which in theory with Minnesota's vaccination rate, it shouldn't, but you know, then it's obviously, you know, you're going to be in a stadium with 50,000 people. So that sort of is in the back of your head. So no, it doesn't have that sort of carefree fun feeling that we had a couple of years ago, I think, but you know, if the Gophers come out and get off to a good start in the first quarter Thursday night, I think that feeling, you know, similar to how we had during the Penn State and the Wisconsin game in 2018, and I think that'll come back pretty quick.
Blake, you don't have the, you know, a forthcoming tailgate or attendance at the Ohio State game to juice you up. So what are you looking forward to as you come off this oddest of off seasons?
Yeah, it's strange. You know, I've been thinking back to this time last year. I mean, probably a little bit closer to the season, I think, because last season, obviously, around this time, we thought Big Ten season was canceled.
Before Nebraska saved us, you guys.
But obviously, before, you know, God bless Scott Frost and the Nebraska Cornhuskers for saving football last year. But yeah, for some reason, I was much more excited last year for the season than I am this year. And I think part of it, too, was I think last year I was definitely running on fumes by the end of the season. Like, it obviously didn't go as we had hoped. I think everyone was excited because of 2019 and how much we returned back. You know, it was going to be Rashad Bateman's last year before he went pro. We thought the defense was finally going to be able to sustain the success they had the year before, even though they lost several draft picks. There's just a lot of hope and optimism around the program. And obviously the season didn't go in as we planned in any shape or form. And this offseason, I think we return a lot back to the team. To me, there's just like, I think part of the excitement last year was we had so many unknowns too. Like we had like new guys coming in. We had kind of an exodus of seniors. And I think we're all excited about the younger guys finally getting their play. A lot of younger Fleck recruits finally getting some significant amount of playing time. And this year, it's exciting that we have a lot of people coming back, but I think that also takes a little of the excitement away from it, is like we kind of know who the guys are going to be this year. It's just a question of how much better they're going to be. And I think part of it too, maybe this year, is I'm kind of, you know, it's a defense mechanism way, like to avoid the disappointment of last year, is like saying, you know, just let's keep the hype levels down, you know, expectations low, because, you know, they very well could be as bad defensive as they were last year. I certainly hope not. But yeah, I mean, as Minnesota fans, I think you both know that what I'm getting at is like, you just kind of you're trained to not get your hopes up sometimes. And I think they're very capable of having a good season, but I think part of it too coming into the season for me is just trying to have low expectations and kind of see how this first game goes and build from there. And I very well may be possible that I get really excited and into the season after this first game. Just kind of, you know, get your feet wet, get back into the rhythm of things. But yeah, this is definitely the strangest I've felt entering a season in a very long time. So it's, yeah, very odd territory for me.
What I hear you saying is, in the parlance of Ted Lasso, it's the hope that kills you, and you're just throttling back on the hope a little bit.
I would say, I mean, I'm always down for a Ted Lasso reference, so hat tip to you. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why that would be any different from last year for me in terms of the hope killing you. I obviously maybe was a little overcome with the euphoria from 2019 heading into last season, but maybe this past year gave me a little bit of reality check. But yeah, sometimes I just think it is the hope, and I think you see a lot of the talk about Minnesota this season is which team was the real deal, 2019 or 2020. I think that's kind of the position I'm in too, is I would like to believe that 2019 was the real deal and 2020 was the anomaly. I think there's a lot of factors that went into it that proved 2019 was the real deal, but we'll find out this season. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to prevent the hope from killing me. That's a good way of putting it.
All right, well, we'll get back to a little bit of football, but honestly, it's after a very slow rollout to the recruiting of the Coach Ben Johnson era, it's been a month-ish now of some good news, good turns in the recruiting world as it spins. Andy, can you talk about the latest commit picked up by the Gophers?
Yeah, on Monday, the Gophers got a commitment from Josh Ola Joseph, who is a 6'6", 200-pound wing from Osseo High School. So that's, I think, three Minnesotans in a row now for Johnson.
Sure. I'll be honest, I can't keep track.
But so, yeah, he's getting several members of this impressive 22 in-state class. And Joseph, Ola Joseph is one of those kids. He's not one of the highest rated kids yet, but apparently he had just a ridiculously good summer blowing up on the AAU circuit. You know, came into it and really went from having zero offers from any high major schools to earning a Gopher scholarship, as well as Clemson and Texas A&M and I think Nebraska as well. And you know, he like I said, he looks the part. He's an athletic body, supposedly has close to a 40-inch vertical, long wingspan. You know, he's got some work on the fine-tuning skills to do. But, you know, we've got our you know, our 2, 3, and 4 pretty much locked up here from in-state kids. And obviously we still have got some scholarships to work on. So hopefully, Johnson can try and find himself a point guard here relatively soon. Obviously Trey Holloman would have been the jewel of this class, but decided to go play for Tom Izzo instead, which, I mean, good for him. So yeah, the Gophers, Ben Johnson still has some work to do, but, you know, from where we were 3 weeks ago to where we are now, it's looking like a much more comfortable feeling look going into the, recruiting class of 2022.
Well, Andy, I'm going to keep it with you for a minute. Can you talk a little bit about how things went with the volleyball team in their opening series of matches down in Madison?
Yeah, the Gophers were ranked number 7th going into the opening weekend of the Big Ten, Big 12 Challenge last weekend, and had a pretty big matchup right away Friday night when they played number 10 Baylor. Unfortunately for Minnesota, the Bears got the better of the Gophers and they beat them 3-1. You know, the team split the first two sets before Baylor came back to pick up three. And unfortunately, the Gophers showed what they had some trouble with last year at times. It was holding onto a lead. They had a 24-20 lead in set 4, needing just one more point to push it to a tie-breaking fifth set. But Baylor came back with four straight points and then quickly took advantage after tying it up and won 28-26 to win the match 3-1. So Baylor is a really good team. I mean, they've got four All-Americans on that roster. They brought in a transfer from national champion Kentucky who's an All-American. They brought in somebody from Arizona State who was a second team All-American. So Baylor is no slouch, but it shows that Minnesota is not going to have any easy games at all this season. They've got a ridiculously tough non-conference schedule before the Big Ten schedule starts. The Gophers did bounce back, picked up an easy 3-0 sweep over TCU on Saturday. TCU, not a very good team. But it gets dramatically harder this weekend. Wednesday night, Gophers open up the home season at the Pav by hosting number one Texas before heading out to number five Florida for a match Saturday afternoon. So the Gopher non-conference schedule rolls on. It's going to be incredibly tough. Gophers, they have Stephanie Samity, who is one of the best players in the country, once again coming back for a fifth year. But it does show that they're still missing a little bit of depth in the middle there. They've got Samity, and then they've got Taylor Lanfair and Jenna Wenis, a pair of sophomores, both outside and opposite hitters, like Samity, who can get the kills. But their middle blockers is where they're definitely missing. Reagan Pittman would have been nice if she had decided to come back for her fifth season. She did not. She moved on. And it's that area in the middle where the Gophers have really got to try and neutralize some of these teams that have a little bit more power up the middle. One of them being Wisconsin with Dana Retke, the four-time first-team All-American coming back for her fifth season. The Gophers will obviously see the Badgers here coming up in a month or two. But Wisconsin, for comparison's sake, had no real trouble with Baylor. They easily beat Baylor 3-1 on Saturday night in Madison. So obviously the Gophers aren't quite up to the Wisconsin level. Those top five teams, they fell to number 10 in the coaches poll this week. And like I said, number one at home on Wednesday, number five on the road on Saturday. It would be great to see the Gophers try and get at least one of those matches. But it's going to be tough sledding for them for sure.
All right, bouncing back to football for a minute. I'm going to read the quote from PJ Fleck from today about Chris Ottman-Bell. Cab is, quote, is a little more kind of advanced in terms of a game time decision, but I won't make that call. Chris will make that call along with our medical team, unquote. That is the wordiest way of saying I'm going to pretend he's playing, but he's not playing, right? Like, that, there's no way that wording results in him playing. Blake, you agree?
I mean, I've heard this tune too many times before. It was, he's week to week, he's day to day, he's progressing incredibly quickly. It's going to be his call, the medical staff's call. To me, this is just classic Fleck gamesmanship when it comes to injuries. I mean, it's no secret Ottman-Bell is like a big part of their offense, and going to the season opener, he's not going to come out and say one way or the other, he's going to play or he's not. But I mean, I will be shocked if Chris Ottman-Bell plays on Thursday night. I just, his sprain, he was wearing a boot after a sprain. That was what, 3 weeks ago. And I mean, sprains, they can take some time. And I really just don't think, in this scheme of things, why rush Chris Ottman-Bell back for this game when you could just play it safe and have him available the rest of the season. I think the season is more important than just this game, and I think they understand that too. As much as Chris probably wants to play, as much as Fleck would probably like to have him, I just long term it makes more sense to just play him if he's not ready, and it doesn't sound like he's ready.
Andy, in your mind, will we see Chris Ottman-Bell in a really sweet full zip while he's not dressed to play on the sidelines, or is it going to be a quarter zip that U Street will want to buy immediately?
The interesting thing will be we'll have to see what type of flashy rain gear that the Gophers may have this year. We may not, the weather for the game is looking potentially a little wet, so we'll have to see, if they've got some new nice rain gear to pull out, of which case then you would assume would be a full zip. But I do agree with Blake that I do think that that we won't see him Thursday night. Now, will I be surprised if they try and go the semi fake out route and he shows up dressed and then doesn't play, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah, even if he does play, he's not going to be 100%. And the last thing you want to do is lose him for a longer period of time. You know, it, admittedly, most likely his presence isn't going to help one way or the other against Ohio State. I mean, well, I take that back. It would help, but it's not going to get them over the hump of the Buckeyes. You shouldn't really need him for Miami of Ohio one way or the other. So even if he sits out another week, I think that's fine. But you'd like to have him back close to 100% by the time you go to Colorado in 3 weeks. So I think if I'm a Gopher fan, that's the date I have circled to hopefully have to have Cab back in the lineup.
Well, let's say this. If at the end of this game we're saying we could have won that if we had Chris Hartman Bell, they probably played really well. And to me, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, it's Ohio State. Like, we all want them to win. But at minimum, I just want them to play well. And if we're saying at the end of this game, wow, if we just had Chris Hartman Bell, we would have won, then they probably played pretty damn well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, we're going to flip over to hockey real quick. Andy, I know you had some disappointment earlier this week when the Big Ten hockey schedule was announced because they placed the the series in Madison on the same weekend as the home game against Illinois. What? Just kind of give us a quick recap of what your thoughts are about the Gophers' Big Ten schedule in hockey.
Yeah, Big Ten schedule was released on Monday. You know, the main bullet points were back to normal Friday Saturday series. None of these weird playing games on those sorts of weird days for TV. We're back to how it was. Same thing. Big Ten tournament is back to how it was in 2019 and prior. Whereas the number one seed will get a bye directly into the semifinals, and then the quarterfinals will be best of three, matching up 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5, before single elimination semifinals and a championship game. The Gophers have a pretty front loaded fall home schedule. They're non-conference. Obviously, they've got two series to open the season in October against Cupcakes before home and homes against St. Cloud and UMD. They open the Big Ten season the Halloween weekend against Notre Dame at 3M Mariucci before traveling the following weekend to Madison, which, again, I'd much rather that road trip be January or February and no conflicts. But unfortunately, as someone who has home season tickets for both football and hockey, I probably will be stuck in the Twin Cities watching the Gophers beat up on Brett Bielema's team rather than watching Gopher Badgers in Madison. But then after that, they play two home series against Penn State and Ohio State again. So it's a ridiculously front-loaded home schedule. In fact, the Gophers will have they'll have an exhibition against the U.S. under-18 team in early January, but they will not play a real game at home for 2 months. From something like November 21st to January 21st, they don't play a single real game at 3M. So that will be a little weird, but you know, and they have a gauntlet to finish the pretty familiar back-to-back week road trips against Ohio State and Penn State, and then they finish with the Badgers last weekend of the year with probably the Big Ten regular season on the line at home. So. You know, that should be, it's a pretty good series. Michigan, they had two Michigan, which is probably the most anticipated team in the conference this year. The team that had four of the top five NHL first round draft picks in June, and they're all coming back for either their freshman or sophomore season in Ann Arbor. So that should be a stacked Wolverine team. The Gophers head to Ann Arbor for the last series in 2021 in December. And then get them back in Minneapolis here in mid-January. So should be exciting. You know, we should have a pretty good idea of how this team will look by the time they play those home-and-homes against St. Cloud and UMD before the Big Ten starts. And hopefully they can take advantage of a lot of home games early and try and make some hay before the rest of the season in 2022 gets a bit tougher.
All right, well, it's that time. It is officially the first game week, which means we need to close out with some predictions. Blake, you have posted yours as part of the preview that you wrote, but do you just want to recap what you see as the final score of the game on Friday?
Yeah.
Or Thursday? God, Thursday, yeah. Not Friday.
Get your days right, Chris, okay? Yeah, I mean, as I said in the post, is an upset possible? Yes, I mean, that's why they play the games, but is an upset probable? Probably not. I mean, most teams lose to Ohio State, and there's no shame in losing to Ohio State. They're one of the best teams in the country, one of the best programs in the country in terms of talent, coaching, whatever you want to rank them by. So I certainly hope I'm wrong, but I just can't, as a reasonable person, I just can't in good conscience predict Minnesota upsetting Ohio State. Though I will point out, the last time a number four ranked team visited Minnesota, didn't go well for them. But this Thursday, I will predict that Ohio State wins 31-20.
Yeah, you know, I think much of the same. I think the Ohio State offense is just going to be too powerful. I mean, obviously their quarterback hasn't played, but they've got two of the best wide receivers in all of the country, much less the Big Ten. They've got a stacked running back group, and the Gophers have questions on defense. You know, we hope that the defense will be much better than it was last year, but until we see it on the field, I don't think anybody's willing to give them the full benefit of the doubt. I do think that the Gopher offense will be able to move the ball a little bit, but I think that the Buckeye offense is just going to be too powerful. So I've got a 38-21 final. It's never really close and uncomfortable for Ohio State, but the Gophers don't let it be a complete blowout either.
Well, I'm going to go with a 42-21. Ohio State doubles up Minnesota. That may read on paper like I'm predicting a blowout. Again, I don't think that's how it'll feel. I don't think it'll feel close most of the game. But I'm not going to, even in that scenario, leave feeling, you know, especially bothered. I think that's just going to be a testament to the quality of the Ohio State team if they're able to put up that size of a win. More about Ohio State than about Minnesota, honestly. I find it unlikely I'm going to take too many thoughts away from how Minnesota plays, even if they win. If they win, that's just going to be fantastic in and of itself. And then I'm going to want to see a larger sample size of what Minnesota can do before I really worry about anything. But honestly, as I have for my prediction, I don't think they're going to win. But football is back. Tailgating is back. Going to close with a reminder, you should probably get to the game early. It's the first game of electronic tickets. There will be confusion. There will be problems. That's just how those things go. Outside of that, looking forward to kicking it off. So with that, go Gophers. Sky Yuma. Row the boat.
Go Gophers, row the boat.